Hello, and welcome to the Real Life Podcast. I'm your host, Jennifer McKee. I'm so excited to have you join me each week as we explore a variety of topics around life in the greater Palm Springs area. From real estate market updates to lifestyle topics, interesting people, food and entertainment, we keep it authentic and fun. Please be sure to like, subscribe, and follow Jennifer McKee Realtor on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube to keep up to date on everything happening in the Coachella Valley. Also, be sure to go to Apple Podcasts and like and leave a review for this show. I really appreciate it. And now, without further ado, let's go to this week's show. Hi there. Thank you so much for joining me on my very first episode. I am Jennifer McKee. I thought my first episode would be something really exciting and we'd get to talk about some great things about the Coachella Valley, maybe some great restaurants and activities and how great the real estate market is doing and the lifestyle here. But no one could predict that we were going to be dealing with a pandemic right now. So today is Tuesday, March 24th. We're about a week into our 30-day quarantine that the governor of California has issued for all Californians. And so I have with me as my cohort and partner in crime today, my husband. He's a film and television producer and entrepreneur, Ryan McKee. Thank you for joining me.
I didn't have much of a choice.
This is very true. When you aren't allowed to leave your home or have other people enter it, then your list of people who can join you on a podcast is very short. There's six other people in my family other than myself. Five of those are kids. So you were my first choice.
I was your first choice among the quarantined, self-isolated.
That's true, but I believe you have some insight to share with us. I always love hearing what you have to say about certain topics. And we've had a lot of time, quality time, to sit around and talk about all sorts of things in regards to this coronavirus and how it's affecting us personally and the world, our region. We're a hot spot for the virus in California, the Coachella Valley is. And so that's been interesting to watch. And just
Why is that?
As far as the numbers, we have one of the highest numbers of people infected in the state of California. Do you know why they're saying that is?
Well, I think it's our demographics too, right? I mean, it's the so many communities and retirees, and it's a virus that impacts weaker immune systems, and so you have a lot of people here in the Palm Springs area who are older, obviously battling different sicknesses and just general health in general. You've got a lot of folks that are potentially compromised immune systems that are now being exposed to something that is quite deadly. So
that's true. And because of having such a high demographic of senior citizens who are told to stay home, they're not able to leave, really, if they are wanting to follow the rules and protect themselves. So we've reached out to a lot of people, a lot of friends, neighbors, past clients, just checking on them to see if they need any help with getting groceries or medications or errands run for them. And
doing the patio drops.
We did. I dropped off some toilet paper.
Stay safe.
Exactly. We did the porch drop. And so we're just trying to figure out how we can help our friends and neighbors and community and help solve people's problems. But it is affecting all areas of life. You know, I joke actually that because out here everyone has pool guys and landscapers, gardeners, they're actually considered essential workers. So they don't have to stay home and they didn't have to work from home. They can still go and visit their clients and take care of their pools and yards. And who knew that those two industries would actually be thriving in this, but our pool guy and our gardener is doing well. So
want to start a pool business?
I've actually thought about it as I see all these pool equipment, all the trucks driving by. I think, man, these guys are killing it. They're probably getting more clients even. I would think so.
Yeah, until they find out that the virus spreads from the grass or chlorine or something.
Well, every day it's changing, so you just never know I feel like the rules of the game change every day, and we're just trying to get the game plan every morning to figure out what to do. You know, at first it was like, don't be in groups of larger than 250. Then don't be in groups, I don't even know what the numbers were, like 100, like then 50, and then 10 or whatever. Now it's like, don't leave your house. Don't even, you know, I have a sister and a brother-in-law, and my nieces and nephew live just like less than 5 minutes away, and we haven't seen them. They were always in our house all the time, but we're not even venturing out to see extended family. So trying to follow the rules and end this misery as fast as we can. You know, for us personally, we have five kids, and we have identical twin 6-year-old daughters, and they think this is the best thing ever because everybody's home and all the quality time and the attention they're getting. So it really hasn't affected them in the negative at this point. But our boys, 14 and 16-year-old sons, they are having a hard time adjusting to this new normal because they were on the go all the time with school and sports and activities. And then most importantly to them, their girlfriends, not being able to see them in person, has us dealing with moody and sad, mopey teenagers. And then our oldest son is 19, and he was supposed to leave for boot camp for the Navy April 13th. He's been itching to leave and to fly the nest and get away from us. And now he's quarantined with the very people he was trying to leave, and his ship date got pushed to July at the earliest. So he's really bummed. That's greatly affected his life. And then for you and I, we're working from home and coming up with creative solutions to help our clients and our businesses.
Yeah, I mean, I think for us, not much seems like it has changed a little bit in the day-to-day. Now, you obviously most days spend a lot of time out with your clients driving around. But for me, I mean, I work from home. You know, the girls are here on a day-to-day basis because they're so young. So it's not like in some ways, I don't feel like a lot of has changed that much. It's just that the kids are home. The boys are home.
More distractions
and noise.
Mess.
And, I mean, should we confess how many times we've had to retry to do this podcast because of interruptions and kids? So, I mean, it's like that part has been a little bit frustrating, but it's a very small inconvenience compared to, I think, a lot of people that are used to, you know, completely different types of lifestyles now suddenly having to sit at home and figure out how to balance work and life and all that stuff. We're fairly used to it, so it's not really been that much of an adjustment. But I empathize, I'm not sure which word, but with those that are struggling to figure out how to do it, because, I mean, it's taken several years to even find our own groove, and it constantly adjusts as the kids change and ages change. And so it's hard to all of a sudden get thrown into that for a lot of people and try to figure out how to, like, you know, do conference calls with your office, and then you got to make the kids lunch, and you're just constantly distracted and torn, and it's tough. I get it.
And then a lot of people who aren't normally home day to day or have their kids home. So we homeschooled our boys almost every year until high school, with the exception of one of our sons who went for a couple years. And so now our girls are homeschooled kindergarten, which is not hard at all. They mostly play, and we make sure they know how to read and things like that. But for parents who are now home, not only working, but have their kids and trying to homeschool them, they feel this huge pressure to be on a schedule, making sure that they're learning and all this. And I remember feeling that pressure in the very early days of homeschooling our boys and trying to do school at home and be on a schedule. And I felt so much pressure. It was not fun for me. It was not fun for him. And I remember one time you came home and I was just about to pull my hair out because I could not keep up this whole having a classroom at home thing. And you said, well, there's a reason we homeschool. We do it so that we're not doing school at home. We're homeschooling. Why don't you just relax and it'll be okay? And from that point on, I just relaxed and didn't try to adhere to a strict schedule and let them explore and learn and engage them in a different way. So that's my little tip to all you moms out there with kids at home now trying to make sure that they're schooling. Just relax with it. Let them catch up on, especially the teenagers, catch up on their sleep. Let them play some video games. Let them go outside and throw the football or whatever it is, and just encourage them to explore things that they're interested in. So,
well, and I mean, yeah, the challenge that it we had to really work through was, you know, the public school systems, one of the reasons that they have struggled so much, I think, in terms of quality of education is the standardization and kind of turning everybody into, you know, having kind of like a one-step sort of process to educate kids. And really, education is customized. It needs to be customized. And teaching people how to be lifelong learners, whereas most of us are forced into education. We're forced into this box. We graduate from high school. We never want to read another book. We never want to talk about science. We don't feel like anything that we've learned gives us any value in our lives because we've not been shown how all these things interconnect and the value of it and how to ask the right questions and how to be curious. And so, you know, just doing that with your kids and sitting down with them and like downloading a star app and laying out, you know, at night and looking at the sky.
You've been so good at that.
Talking to them about the world and like picking up rocks and leaves and just natural history and life and wonders and like that kind of process of, you know, pull out a piece of paper and a pencil and sketch together. And really, I think
find a recipe and cook something.
But even like just letting them see you learn. So you have a guitar sitting around the house and they see you going on YouTube and learning how to play it. That kind of stuff actually inspires, I think, kids more than always feeling like the parents are the expert or the teacher is the expert and the kid is, you know, the idiot who doesn't know anything. Realizing that adults are always learning and trying to always do new things as well, I think says to a kid, like, this is not something I just do for 12 years and then I'm done. This is something I need to be pursuing the rest of my life. So how do I do that? I need to learn how to find resources, ask questions. Where do I go on YouTube to find the right guitar teachers? How do I sift through them all and figure out which one's the best? Like, that's stuff that as a parent, you can teach your kids by trial and error and by learning and just doing it together.
Yeah, we've really worked hard on trying to get our kids to, instead of pushing knowledge on them, we want them to be hungry for information and knowledge.
To be self-learners.
Right. So to teach them how to we want them to be hungry for it, I guess, is just the easiest way to say that.
Well, and I think a lot of people get confused too, and then we don't have to keep hitting on this topic, but like, you know, if your kids are sitting around and playing Minecraft or, you know, reading a book or something like that, that's not necessarily laziness. They might be learning about engineering by playing Minecraft. They're going to be learning about literature by reading a book. If they're just sitting and sketching, I mean, that's art class. You know, we have this idea in our minds for some, you know, so many of us, we look at like school with these sort of 45-minute to 90-minute blocks, and we think that that's this segmented, regulated kind of structure is necessary for education. It's really not. That's what you do when you have 3,000 students in one facility. It can't be customized. It can't be kind of loose. But when you're home, it can be. Have a structure, have a routine. You know, there's no sense in it just kind of being the wild, wild west. But at the same time, it does not need to have this, like, you know, I see parents posting things on Facebook about like their structure that they're giving their kid, you know, 15 minutes, like a 45 minute recess between 1 and 1:45. And I think like we literally are in the middle of a global pandemic that the world has not seen in 100 years. Kids are kind of freaking out. Parents are freaking out. And you're worried about making sure your kid has recess from 1 to 1:45. You're home. Like, relax. They're stressed out. They're worried. Like, be a comfort. Keep them dazzled about the world. Keep them interested in life and the beauty and wonder of nature and art and music and all those things and science.
That's good. Keep them dazzled about the world. Well, never heard that.
You don't have to, you know, worry that like, oh, or, you know, I got to make sure they get this Algebra 2 lesson in. It's like, it hasn't even been a week since most of us have even been on a quarantine. So just,
true.
I think take a deep breath and everybody kind of, you know, love one another and enjoy this moment together a little bit.
I totally agree. It's definitely just been eye-opening to take, just figuring out what's important to you, what's important in life, and just knowing that our family's together and we're healthy and we have food in the pantry. And, you know, if we're going to be quarantined, we have picked the best place at the best time of year. It's in the 70s today. Sun is shining. Palm trees are blowing in the wind. And, you know, I'm just grateful for every one of these blessings right now. You laying in the hammock the other day thinking, okay, this could be a lot worse. So we're relaxed right now and just taking each day as it comes.
You're going to piss off a lot of people in the north.
Right, I know. I know.
Cold and snow.
And this is my little commercial of why you should move to the Coachella Valley. Call me if you want to buy a house. But in fact, you know, there are so many northerners that are down here right now because they either have a vacation home or it's a second home and they winter here, they're snowbirds or whatever. And it's interesting to see if they're going to be able to go back when it heats up, because usually mid to late April, they're all gone. They're back north because it starts heating up here. So I'm wondering, are they going to stay or are they going to go?
Well, it's interesting too, because the kind of calendar year here is sort of, When it really gets busy, it's sort of a Thanksgiving to about end of April, when Coachella and Stagecoach, which are the big two music festivals down here, finish up in the end of April. Well, those have all been postponed. You had the Indian Wells, the BNP Paribas tennis festival garden thing was
at tournament.
Tournament, thanks. Was pushed back as well. I think those are happening now in October. So
that's a huge effect.
Everybody's here with nothing to do, and now they're quarantined. And so, yeah, in terms of entertainment and commerce and all the stuff that really the Valley kind of has this seasonal sort of nature to it, all of that's on hold. And the question now is, yeah, can people even leave and get back to their houses back in the north or wherever it is they live? Are they going to be stuck here through May, June? We don't know. But yeah, I mean, we've probably had, what was the number, like maybe $1 billion in terms of lost revenue, I think,
yeah,
because of the cancellations. Yeah, so of the festivals. So just a major hit to the Valley. That being said, I mean, there's still talk about a little bit about, you know, there are things still happening in the real estate market. I mean, you know, you're still dealing with buyers. You have people in different communities that are still shopping, whether it's online or different places, right? So, I mean, I hear you on conversations with people on the phone and things are still happening. So, you know, maybe give a little insight there.
Yeah. So I have, in fact, I just got off the phone yesterday with a client from the north who has sold her home. It's in escrow and it's going to be closing soon. They need a house. So they're coming down next week. And I said, well, currently we are not allowed to show homes or have open houses. It's not considered an essential service, although the California Association of Realtors is trying to get that changed with the governor's office, trying to get it deemed an essential service.
I don't know how they can either,
but they're trying.
We'll see.
And so I told her, I said, we can't physically go into homes at this point, but things are changing daily. We can get creative. We'll figure it out. I'm not going to let you be homeless. I'm going to help you find a home. People buy homes sight unseen. You know, I've done that before, even before all of this pandemic crisis. If someone is in the north and they see a home that fits all their criteria, they see it online and they call and say, hey, I want this house. And I'll go over to it and FaceTime them through it or take a video. And they will make an offer sight unseen. Some of them never see it until after closing. Some of them make the offer contingent upon them seeing it in person. And so that gives them time to get on a plane and come down here and view it. And they give them, we write it in the contract that way so that it can't be sold out from underneath them while they're traveling, because that would be a big waste of their time and money. They come and then they say, oh yeah, we like it. Let's continue with the deal. I've only had maybe twice where they said, oh, we don't like this. This isn't what I thought it was. Let's find a different one. But so there are different options to work with clients. You know, I'm sending virtual tours and videos and all sorts of things to clients. And so there are ways to get around it. We're just having to be creative, more creative than we normally are.
Yeah. I mean, I know, like with the work that I do on the film side, everything got shut down. I think it was Friday. They had given the 24-hour notice Thursday, something like that. And so by Friday midnight, everything was supposed to be done. So all the productions had stopped.
All TV shows, movies,
TV
everything.
TV shows,
here.
Movies, everything. So, I mean, several productions that I had been involved in. We actually, I think, had pulled the plug on it a few days earlier on a documentary we're working on. And there's just, yeah, so commercial work, everything. So I've got, you know, tons and tons of friends that I'm seeing that are all now starting to panic a little bit because of income streams are drying up. And most of these folks are paid, it's a day rate, maybe paid on the by the week. So as soon as that week is out, you know, like you've got no other income. You know, if you're a larger star, somebody, you're on a contract, and so your income's a little bit more guaranteed. Whereas most of your crew are generally, you know, sort of day laborers. So yeah, I mean, people can file for unemployment and some of that, but a lot of times these are 1099.
Right.
Subcontractors and contractors, I mean, they're not on any kind of a payroll, so it's a little bit scary. But I've been watching, so like with my industry, you know, there's a lot of conversations happening. I mean, what is the sort of California real estate folks, what are they saying for you guys? What are you seeing?
Well, the California Association of Realtors, we call it CAR for short, they conduct a weekly survey of nearly 1,000 members. And so from March 13th to March 16th for the second consecutive, they've been doing it, you know, for a couple weeks now, just to see where people are at. And the percentage of realtors expecting negative impacts due to this virus went up dramatically from 53% the first week to 78% the second week. And you can't have open houses, you can't show homes. So now it's really affecting the morale of a lot of realtors. And more than half of the members have experienced buyers holding back, and 45% have experienced sellers holding back, with 13% actually having clients withdraw a listing from the market entirely.
Ouch.
Now, I have not had any of my clients withdraw a listing. I have not had any of my buyers that are currently in escrow shut down a deal. I've checked in with them. I said, okay, are we still good? And they said, oh yeah, we're buying this house. You know, so far my current deals are going through very smoothly. One issue we've had is we did a request for repairs and we said we want these certain things fixed. Well, the seller is older, doesn't want a bunch of people in his home right now. And a lot of people, we can't schedule anybody. So the other agent said, how about we just give you a credit towards repairs since we can't get the repairs done? And we said, okay, that works for us. So, you know, there are just ways to work around these problems. I've got people still, you know, checking out the listings I'm sending them. I've got people still calling and asking questions. You know, people are hesitant, especially people who have their money in the stock market. So that's going to affect a chunk of buyers. So they're waiting to see what's happening.
Because a lot of them down here, I mean, they're buying second and third homes in many cases because they have another place maybe back in the north or something. This is kind of a vacation space for them. So, right. I mean, so like if you've got your money wrapped up in a 401k or some mutual fund or something like that, and the stock market has tanked, I mean, you're not looking at like, oh, let's, you know, pull out $100,000 and go purchase another house somewhere.
Right. And Carr is actually saying because of that the luxury market, second homes and investment properties will, are going to take a hit.
Wow.
Yeah. So I'm going to give you some interesting things that Carr has actually sent us that I found interesting, and maybe you guys will too. They're saying obviously that they've changed their forecast for the year's housing market, what they expect to happen, lower home sales, but they are expecting the U.S. economy to dip into a recession. There's good news and bad news. So that's the bad news. But they're saying it's going to be, let's see here. They're saying basically there's going to be a recession extending through summer, but it's going to be short, quick, and it will rise quick is what they're thinking. Hmm. So that's, you know, encouraging. They're saying that they're forecasting that the benefit of lower interest rates will be outweighed by deteriorating consumer confidence. That's what it says. So as a result, our current baseline forecast expects that existing home sales will fall by roughly 8% in 2020 compared to winter of last year. So, I mean, none of that is new.
But this isn't 2008 where you're seeing like a double digit kind of drop. I mean, 8% is not great, but it's definitely not like, you know, 30% or something.
So this is the thing that I found the most interesting that goes along with what you just said. It says, it's important to note that although the next two quarters are expected to see a sharp drop, the recession is currently expected to be short-lived. The backdrop of the pre-outbreak economy, this is important, is also important to keep in mind as we entered this crisis on a solid economic footing, and our current troubles are being driven by external factors rather than by the unwinding of major imbalances and the underlying fundamentals. This will not insulate the economy from negative effects, but should help the inevitable recovery to proceed more quickly than it did in 2010. So we're not in the same position as 2008, guys. It's a different backdrop. It's external factors. It's not like that we were just in such a mess that our economy tanked because we were already in such a mess. We had a pretty strong economy, pretty strong real estate market happening. It's just external factors affecting it. So they are expecting it to rise.
So
quickly.
What is your recommendation then for, say, like a potential buyer who's been wanting to move down here for a while now? They've been thinking about it, or maybe they're online just because they're sitting at home and they're bored and they're looking around at different houses on Zillow or whatever it is here in the Valley, or at jennifermckee.com, right?
Right.
And they're thinking about it, but, you know, does your advice to continue to move forward? Should they maybe kind of wait a few months? Do you think that prices will adjust? What's the best strategy? I mean, I know from conversations with you, I mean, I already know down here, I mean, inventory has already been low. So there's already been a bit of a demand for housing. Does that continue the same or does it change? I don't know. Any thoughts?
Well, let me preface what I'm going to say is that I'm the eternal optimist. So that being said, I believe, let's talk about buyers. So for buyers, I guess it all depends on where you're at, what your financial situation is. If you are looking to get into to get a home loan, now is the time. Interest rates are low and you're going to be able to take advantage of this opportunity of low interest rates, and sellers who didn't foresee this issue coming that now maybe really have to sell and there's not as many buyers or people are kind of leery. This is your chance to go in, get a great interest rate and get a killer deal. So now if you're using cash, that's a different situation. If you're using cash, I would say now is still a killer time to get a good deal. If you had all your money in the stock market, that's when it gets a little hairy. It just depends on your personal finances. If you're going to just ride it out, wait for the stocks to rise and pull out money. But if your money was invested in different places that were safer, then yeah, people wait years and decades for moments like this to go in and get killer deals like they did in 2000. I wish that I would have been able to just buy up a ton of properties in 2008, 2010. Because there are people that did, and they reap the benefits of that.
So, well, and two, don't we don't still quite know like how things are going to unfold with this stimulus package, with mortgage relief. I mean, there's talk about like giving homeowners, you know, 6 months or even longer potentially of no mortgage payments.
Right.
There's a lot of potential there for, you know, like even if somebody has a place in another part of the country, if they can get relief maybe on making those mortgage payments, they might be able to use some of that money now to, that they had been kind of nervous about from their investments, but they could use that to still move forward with purchasing that second home or selling one and buying the other or whatever the potential plan was. It still could be quite viable for them because we just don't know what some of the relief packages are going to look like.
Exactly. I think we're all waiting very impatiently to see what the relief packages, the stimulus, all that's going to do and how that's going to affect each person. So it's really hard to say what I think each person should do. So if people want to contact me directly and say, this is where I'm at, what do you think? I've got a team of experts that I rely on as well, that we talk about these issues, lenders, things like that, that we can help give you some advice and insight into what the market is currently doing and what we think you should do. But, you know, I'm seeing some great, great deals that I have clients that are looking to scoop some up. So they're just waiting for the right home at the right price. And they're going to jump in. Like I said, my client next week's coming in and she's ready to buy. So,
well, and everybody's different too. Cause I mean, don't you have a lot of people that are buying? We've got friends that have purchased homes down here and they turn them into Airbnb or rentals.
Oh, that's a huge
depending on the market.
Here.
Now it's all on hold right now because nobody's really able to travel in and out and all the festivals got postponed. But unless something weird happens with this coronavirus and all that, there will be a time when those events come back and when, you know, people begin to return to the Valley, and there is some sort of return to normal, I guess, for lack of a better word. But, you know, so it is dependent on somebody's plan of what they want to use. If they're going to be purchasing a home like in a 55 plus community where they're going to be living full time or, you know, 6 months out of the year, that's different than if they're going to be coming down, you know, two or three, four or five times out of the year, and they want to rent that thing out and make some money on it. So
that's true. And, you know, I heard something very interesting yesterday that I hadn't even thought of, because the Airbnb market, which is huge down here, because this is tourism is the name of the game down here. And they were saying, well, so the Airbnbs, VRBO, all the vacation rentals took a major hit when all these festivals got canceled and postponed. However, now I'm seeing on Facebook, a lot of friends are saying, my home just got rented out because people from LA, the big city, they're trying to escape. That's a major hotspot for the virus. And it's such a big city, and who wants to be quarantined in a big city like that? And so they're trying to escape the city and come out to the desert where life is slower, less traffic, less people, trying to escape where there's...
Although we don't want all your coronavirus to come
I know.
LA, but...
But so now they're starting to get bookings again, which I find very interesting, a curveball that I didn't see coming. So there's silver lining to every dark cloud, I guess.
Yep. It's an interesting time. I mean, we're just kind of waiting to see, I guess, how this all plays out. I suppose, you know, I mean, it's day by day, but, you know, within the next week, we should be seeing kind of how things are unfolding with California. I know there's more states that are creating lockdowns. Washington just did theirs, I think, yesterday. It's really kind of a stay indoors, whatever they're calling it, order. It's not really like a
shelter in place.
Yeah, so they're not like complete lockdowns, but highly encouraged not to travel and get out of the house. I think New York is doing that and a few other places. So it's unless something happens with the trends here on the virus, exponential growth, if they can get these growth rates down a little bit, I think we're going to see more states probably under that type of restrictions and stuff. But anything that we can do to slow this thing down and keep everybody safe makes sense. I mean, there's no sense. There's no reason to try to act like you're tougher than this thing. It's
the sooner that everyone stays inside,
it's a big deal. Yeah,
the faster we can move on. Let's hope that we, you know, personally, there are different things we're doing to cope. Obviously, like we said, we work from home most of the time, so we're still plugging away. But there is a lot of downtime from not having to take the kids all over. I mean, we spend hours a day driving kids to wherever they need to go, and then other activities and social events and things like that. I have downloaded the Settlers of Catan app.
Lord help us.
It's an addiction, not going to lie. I never pay money for apps. I'm like the most frugal person in the world. And I shelled out a good $8 for the Supreme or was it more than that? I don't even remember, for the Supreme version. And I have spent a lot of time sharpening my axe and perfecting my Catan skills, spending a lot of time cooking more home-cooked, wonderful meals than we have had maybe in the last year. Bacon cakes and cookies with the kids, movies. The girls are obsessed with the Avengers.
Marvel, we got one left, I think, for them to finish off all of the Marvel movies. So
we've been movie marathons and hot tubbing, getting in the spa, hanging out in the hammock, girls jumping on the trampoline, a lot of FaceTiming and phone calls and text to friends and family, and we're just getting through it. And normally the biggest problem we have, I would say, is that we don't have enough time. I'm always thinking that we're running like crazy, and I just feel like we're always in a rush to the next thing, getting to the next kids event, taking them here and there, and we rarely are all in the house at the same time and rarely get to sit down at the table together. And we have been gifted the gift of time. And so trying to look at the glass half full right now and enjoying the time we've been given.
It does feel weird though, because in some ways, I don't feel like, because our routine has not been that upended like other people, it doesn't really feel like there's anything going on. And so it's just kind of a normal day to day. I feel like in some ways I'm working more than I was before, partly because I don't have to hop in the car and go shuttle kids around.
You're getting a lot more accomplished.
So, yeah. And I mean, and my brain's always thinking about businesses and about, you know, ideas about how to capitalize on this and, you know, provide resources for that. And how can we help more people? And so in a lot of ways, I feel like I'm doing more than I even did before. It's even stuff like just laying in bed, trying really hard to get good sleep, which has been nice, but you know, it's hard to even turn it off in the evenings because I'm just reading about the virus and about what's going on and staying on the news, and you know, which is not always the healthiest thing to do, but it's just, there's so much going on and there's so much activity. And yeah, so in some ways it feels like I've just been doing more than I even did prior to all this.
You saying that reminds me, we've had a lot of ideas over the last year, the last few months, about businesses, about how to expand current business offerings and things like that. And we've been able to, in this time, really think about those options and expand some business offerings that we have. So now we are offering, not only am I a realtor who lists homes and helps buyers find homes, we are offering a concierge service. And because I have a lot of buyers here that will buy a home, and maybe they're from the north and they're not here all the time, and they ask, do you know of a concierge service or someone who can check on my home while I'm gone? And now I do. So we're offering that. Check out jennifermckee.com for the packages and what all that means. But we send licensed professionals in there to check your home and make sure that down here in the heat of summer, you have to make sure that the temperature is maintained, the AC unit's not getting frozen pipes. I had a client where that happened one time. It was 120 degrees outside and the outside pipes had ice on them. That's a problem. And they wouldn't have known about it had the landscaper not seen it, right? So you need someone there checking monthly, making sure that, you know, you're not getting an infestation of bugs and things like that. Toilets need to be flushed, things like that. So we have an amazing opportunity to help people with this concierge service, and we're very excited to be able to offer that. Well, I think we've talked enough about coronavirus for the day.
My corona.
I feel like, isn't it, you just changed the words to a song, and I can't even remember.
My Sharona.
My Sharona, yeah, that's it. I feel like the hot tub is calling my name, or the hammock or something. It's been a good day's work. And hang in there, guys. We're all in this together. We'll get through it. We'll get to the other side. I'm actually very optimistic about the market, about it might get tough for a little bit, but we're going to rebound and we're going to be okay. So make sure you go and go to jennifermckee.com. You can find me and on all the social sites, and go to Apple Podcasts and like and subscribe. Leave a review for me, please, 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 as I'm getting started on this. I have a lot of fun topics coming down the pike and guests and things like that. And reach out to me if there's some things that you want to know about or some topic ideas that you want me to discuss. Reach out and let me know. I want this to be a great conversation that we can have with each other. So thank you. Big thank you to Ryan. Thanks for joining me today.
Well, you know, it was a lot walking from the living room to the den. So no problem. Happy to help. And I will see you back in the living room in 3 steps.
All right. I'm sure that the kids have made a huge mess in this time that we need to go take care of. So
lovely.
All right. Thanks, guys, for joining us. Until next time.